I remember as a kid, back in the 60s. Yeah, I was around back in the 60s. But I remember at Easter time on TV, there was always a depiction of the death and burial and resurrection of Christ. It was always on TV, and especially Easter Sunday. And I remember feeling on those Sundays, feeling bad for Jesus and wondering how could anyone do that to our Lord. But it wasn't until many years later that it suddenly occurred to me that Jesus was not a victim. Jesus was the conqueror. He went to battle, which was the whole point of Palm Sunday. Jesus said, I'm here to win, and I'm here to bring peace between the Father and us. And on that Friday, as Jesus hung on the cross, he was fighting a battle, a spiritual battle against Satan, our greatest enemy. And to overcome our problem with sin, and to overcome the consequence of that sin, which is eternal death. Jesus went into battle. That's why in the garden, when he prayed so hard, if there's another way, let's do it. But he knew there was no other way, because it's why he came. It was the whole point of Jesus coming. Throughout the Old Testament scriptures, his death, burial, and resurrection was foretold many, many times, especially in the book of Isaiah. And keep in mind, Jesus being the Son of God, this was his own prophecy. So he knew his own word, his own promises better than anybody. And he came to be victorious. So yes, it was terrible what they did to him. And yet what they did to him was part of the battle. He was there to win. And because Jesus won, through our faith in him, we win too. In John chapter 11, verses 21 through 27, I want to talk about why Easter works, why it is so important. This text takes place about 4 months earlier. One of Jesus' close friends, a guy named Lazarus, has died. And when he gets word, he doesn't do anything. His disciples are curious because, well, he's sick, he's dying. And Jesus says, well, yeah, he's already died by now. And yet he does nothing. And it surprised them because Jesus had healed so many people. Some who had died, he raised them back to life. And yet Jesus didn't seem to care about Lazarus. That's what they thought. But then 4 days after his death, Jesus says, let's go. You know, I'm sure they were thinking, too little, too late. They get to Lazarus' household. Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters, are probably thinking the same thing. In fact, that's kind of what Martha says when Jesus arrives. In verse 21, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come or was to come into the world. I always found this interaction with Martha very, very fascinating. She knew if he had come in time, he could have healed Lazarus. She had seen it many times. And yet, in verse 22, she says, even now, I know God will give you whatever you ask. Now, she's not thinking he's going to bring him back to life. He's been dead 4 days, in the tomb, buried 4 days. So she's not expecting that. That's obvious in the next few verses. But what she's saying is, you didn't come, you didn't heal my brother, he died, but I still believe in you. That was her statement, basically, to Jesus. I know that even though you weren't here, I still believe in you. And that's a strong faith that God wants us all to have. Because sometimes we pray about things. You know, we pray for people who are sick. We pray for people who are dying. We pray for maybe our finances. And then it seems like God didn't answer or that God didn't care. But the point is, God always cares and God always answers in His right time, doing the right thing at the right time in the right measure. Always, always, always. And so we have to be like Martha and say, yes, Lord, you could have done this, but you didn't. And I will still trust you. But some things about Easter Sunday really comes to play here. Because Martha says, yeah, I know, Lord, that He's going to rise again on the resurrection of the last day. You see, eternity is in the hearts of every human being. God created us with that anticipation. And so everyone, even the most devout atheist, still knows deep down inside there's something beyond. They can deny it all they want to, but that takes effort. You know, it's natural, it's built into all of us by God to desire a relationship with God. Most of the Jews at this time in history believed that there was life after death, that there was something beyond, that God was beyond this life. Martha believed it. She said so right here in this text. You know, the resurrection day is coming. And most people believe there is something to this very day. A lot of people come up with different philosophies or different religions. Some, you know, believe, oh, there's something, but I don't know what. Others just think, well, I'm going to live, I'm going to die, and that's it. They don't really know. But God has chosen to tell us that there is life after death, that there is a place that God wants us to be with Him forever. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 11, I'm just going to read the latter part of the verse. Solomon wrote, He, meaning God, has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. And there's the thing. People cannot fathom. Where did we all come from? How did all this begin? If there's a God, why did He do this? And where is it all going? And does this God demand much of me? And many people don't want God to demand much of them. And so they cannot really fathom the end except use their imagination. But eternity is in the hearts of everyone by God's design. But Jesus says something interesting to Martha. He says, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. He's not saying, oh yeah, one of these days, you know, resurrection's going to happen. Well, Scripture tells us that. But He tells us why it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, even when it's going to happen. He says, I am the resurrection. It is Me. You put your trust in Me, and I will resurrect you. Jesus had the power even over His own death. He was that kind of, I am the resurrection. She didn't know it. He knew it. 4 months from now, I'm going to be crucified. 4 months from now, I'm giving My life for everybody. And 4 months and 3 days from now, I'm resurrecting, beating death. He had told His disciples a number of times, I'm going to be crucified and I'm going to rise on the third day. Jesus knew death could not hold Him. See, it wasn't an iffy thing. It wasn't a questionable thing. Jesus knew He was going to beat death before He even came. In fact, He knew He was going to beat death before He created anything. So the Scripture tells us that God made this plan before He even began creation. The power over death is in Jesus Christ. And so for Jesus, I think the hard part on the night that He was betrayed, when He was praying so fervently in the garden, was that now it was crunch time. It wasn't the death that scared Jesus, I think. It was more the suffering He was going to have to go through. To this day, many believe that crucifixion was the most cruel, the most painful, the most horrible type of execution anyone could ever go through. And yet that's what Jesus was willing to do. It wasn't easy. It was something that he had to endure, because you got to keep in mind, you know, if someone wants to beat me up and cause me physical harm, well, I'm probably going to be pretty much helpless. But Jesus could have stopped it with one word. With one word, he could have stopped the whole process. Now, if I'm being beat up and I'm being, you know, tortured, well, I can say all the words I want to say, and some maybe I shouldn't, and it's not going to do one bit of good. But Jesus, all it would have taken is one word. And he chose not to. Because he was at war. He was in a battle for us. And he knew he had the power. It wasn't easy, but he did it because he knew he could. And he would. And so he had power over his own death. That's why on the cross he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And he breathed his last. He wasn't killed. No one killed him. He gave his own life. Because Scripture says not only is he the Lamb of God, but he also served as the high priest. He offered himself. And the Romans were so shocked at this that when they went to take the bodies down before sunset, they even ran a spear into his side just to make sure. Because ordinarily, someone would live, you know, even as long as 3 days on a cross before they would actually die. So for someone to die as quickly as he did, they thought that was impossible. Even the two thieves that were crucified with him, they had to break their legs so that they suffocated. You know, because otherwise they could have gone on a couple more days. And the Jews said, "Please don't leave them up over the weekend." And so they broke their legs so they would die. But Jesus gave himself. He was that confident. And he said, "I'm going to rise the third day. Death cannot keep me. I have the power over all things." And Jesus' victory over death secures it for us. See, that was the whole point. Jesus had nothing to prove. He didn't have to come and live among us and live under the Mosaic law and then die on the cross and rise again to beat death just to show off and say, "See, I told you I could do it." No, it had a purpose. It was to rescue people lost in sin, separated from God, so that those who would put their faith in what he had done could be forgiven and have the promise of life eternal with God. His victory over death secures it for us, because he paid the price of our sins. I cannot pay for my own sins. Oh, I can pay for some things, you know. I can pay for some things, but I can't pay for it all. I cannot make my life right before God. But Jesus Christ has. Jesus Christ has paid for my sins. So now when we stand before God on Judgment Day, what's he going to see? People who have been forgiven. Not perfect, but forgiven. And people who have committed to follow Jesus Christ, because his promise is what gives us confidence. See, a lot of people don't have confidence in God. A lot of people still think, you know, well, he's out there somewhere, and you know, but I can do what I want. I want to do what I want. I want to get ahead. I want all the things that I want. And people start living like the world, as if God doesn't count, that God's way is not the way to live. They have no confidence in the promises of God. But for those who have faith in him and trust him, there is confidence. In the book of Hebrews, we are told, beginning in chapter 10, verse 35, "Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved." You see, the war is still going on. Jesus conquered death, and he's given us our promise, but there's still a battle going on. And that's the battle for you and for me. Satan wants every person he can keep away from God. The price has been paid. He's already been defeated. But because God has given us the ability to choose, do we want to believe in Jesus and trust Him, or do we not? And Satan is always whispering, "Oh, you don't want to believe that. Oh, you don't need to trust God. You don't need to be responsible before God. You don't need to live for Him. You don't need to love. Live for yourself." And you see, that's the battle. Even the Apostle Paul, at the end of his life, wrote that he had fought the good fight. He kept the faith. He was talking about his own personal struggle. "I have remained faithful. Not perfect, but I've remained faithful. I've trusted God." But those who shrink back and say, "I want no part of it. I don't want to have to obey Christ. I don't want to walk with Him. I don't want to do all the things that God tells me to. I want to live how I want to live." Well, when the Lord comes, He will not be happy with us. But as we trust Him, we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. You see, that's the power of Jesus' resurrection. I cannot do enough to earn my salvation, but I'm called to live the salvation God has given me through Jesus. See, that's the point. We're saved from having to sin to now being free to live in relationship with God. We have been set free. But again, that's not freedom to go back into the slavery to sin, but it's free to be able to know God, to love God, to walk with God through Jesus Christ. And that's the point, because that's the next part. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." If we do not value walking with Jesus, knowing Him, following Him, then we're not living life to the fullest. We're not living the life God created us to have, and we will not have the life God is preparing for us in eternity. His perfect life enabled His sacrifice. Without Him being that perfect sacrifice, we'd all still be in our sins. But the power of His teaching enables us to have an abundant life here and now. We look at our world and we see what a mess it is, and these people have this opinion and those people have that opinion and these people have that view, and oh, the list goes on, and it's all a mess. But God has always remained constant. His Word has stood the test of time. And every time we do that which God tells us to do in His Word, we find greater happiness, greater joy, greater success in our lives. Sometimes gaining success the world's way does not bring satisfaction or joy or happiness. It might be something brief and fleeting, but it doesn't last. But what we have in Jesus does last and lifts us up and fills us with abundant joy. His resurrection ensures our eternal life. Because He rose, He had the power to raise Himself, He will raise us. Though we will all physically die, we will not be dead forever. Death ends at Judgment Day. Those who do not belong to Jesus, who have rejected Him, will be thrown away. But those who have put their faith in Him and trusted Him, we will see the Father. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Notice the confidence that Jesus had in Himself. "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Nobody comes to the Father. No one comes to God the Father except through me." That's why what we celebrate is so important. So many people do not understand the import of Easter. But what it is reminding us is of the love and the power of God to draw us to Him, to pay for our sins and enable us to have a life with Him that begins the moment we turn our life over to Him and lasts forever. And even though we will physically die one day, we will go on living. Because Scripture tells us that God is not the God of the dead, He's the God of the living. Even though they are dead, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they live now. Just not here. They have physically died, but they still live. And that's the point Jesus is making. I am the resurrection and I am the life. People search for meaning and search for life in so many places and oftentimes end up frustrated. But in Jesus, there's no frustration. There's no disappointment because of who He is and what He's done. When He was on that cross, suffering, even before He got on the cross, all the suffering, He was doing it for us. And as He hung on that cross and He interacted with the people there, and he prayed and thought of us. And as He was in the grave, Peter tells us that He actually went to the abode of the dead and preached to the people there, even back to the days of Noah, the people who had not heard of God's plan or God's hope. And then that Sunday morning, Jesus rose again, conquering death, never to die again. And He said, where I am going, there you can be also. That's what He's made available. May we be willing to trust Him, because it's in Christ and Christ alone that there's any hope for eternity. The desire for it is within us all. But the only one who can provide it, the only one who can meet that need, that desire, is Jesus. We're going to sing the song now, In Christ Alone. And it's a beautiful song. But in Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground. Firm through the fiercest drought and storm. That's what Jesus came to be. That's what the ancients before Christ came were looking forward to. And it's what we base our lives upon. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck us from His hand till He returns or calls us home. Here in the power of Christ, we must stand. Let's stand together, shall we, as we sing.